tickets.
It's 9:50. Good morning. Well, although dead now for two decades, Ted Bundy is a name that can still call up fear. This charming, handsome man was a kidnapper, a rapist, a serial killer who eventually confessed to some 30 homicides in seven states, including five right here in Utah. Director Joe Bullinger is in the studio this morning to discuss this new fictionalized account of Bundy and his relationship with his longtime girlfriend in his new film, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. Welcome back to the Sundance Show, Joe.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
So tell us what attracted you to this material and why now?
Yeah, well, it's actually the 30th anniversary of the execution of Bundy on January 24th, coincidentally the day that this festival started. Fortuitous, I suppose. But Bundy, I think, is an endless source of fascination, not just for me, but for many people. And I think the reason is he defies all of our expectations of what a serial killer we think should look like. I mean, you know, we all want to think that a serial killer is, you know, a creepy two-dimensional monster. And that implies that he's easily identifiable in society, and therefore you have some chance of avoiding becoming a victim. I think that's why people want to think that serial killers are that way. And some are. But Bundy was charming, charismatic, had lots of friends. He eluded capture. You know, friends thought there was no, even when his legal woes started mounting, he had supporters and fans. His Florida murder trial, when he was eventually caught, was a circus full of groupies of people who thought he was innocent and charming and sexy. And it's just bizarre.
And a judge who thought that too.
Yeah. And the judge allowed him to be, be his own legal counsel, which in and of itself made the trial quite a spectacle. But, you know, Bundy taps into our worst, darkest fear, not of being killed by a serial killer. That's a fear enough. But the deepest, darkest fear is you don't know the person next to you. And in my 25 years of doing crime, this is, you know, one of my first scripted movies. But as I think you know, I've done lots of crime, Brother's Keeper, Whitey, Paradise Lost, you know, lots of television. In my 25 years of covering real crime, you know, my observation and that of many others is the people who do evil in this world are usually those that you least expect, whether it's a priest who commits pedophilia and then the next day he's holding, you know, mass, high school coach who, you know, is supposed to be a trusted person, or football coach, you know, and does the wrong thing, or a guy like Ted Bundy who had a live-in girlfriend for 6 years, a woman he met in a bar named Elizabeth Cluffer in 1969, and they lived together until he got arrested in Utah in 1975 because of the Carol Duranche kidnapping. And even after that, she stuck with him. And he was, by all accounts, by her own memoir that the book was based on, he was a wonderful boyfriend and a wonderful surrogate father to her child from another relationship. And so for me, this film is not so much about a catalog of his killings. It's a very different kind of serial killer film. It's really about deception and betrayal.
So it could have easily been a documentary. Why the decision to make it narrative?
Well, interestingly, it is a documentary because I've had the bizarre experience this last 18 months that I also did a four-part series for Netflix called Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy Tapes, which premiered or was launched on Netflix on January 24th as well. Which sounds like some grand master plan on my part to own Bundy in 2019. And I'd like to take credit for, you know, how smart I am, that how everything lined up, and it's all very coincidental. You know, the Netflix series is based on some audio tapes, Bundy's final interview that had never been heard before. And when those tapes landed on my desk from the author of a book, Stephen Michaud was the author, and he wrote a book called Conversations with a Killer based on those audio tapes several decades ago. And he kind of pulled them out of his closet, was a fan of my work, and because of this, you know, insatiable appetite we have for true crime these days, he said, "Do you think there's a show here?" I said, "Let me listen to the tapes," and the tapes were chilling and haunting. And that four-part series is a deep dive into the mind of the killer. And a couple of months later, I was telling my agent at CAA, I'm interested in, you know, first of all, my agent is a huge true crime buff, so he was, you know, excited to hear all the details of my Bundy Unscripted show. But we also talked about how I'd like to take another run at doing a scripted movie. I haven't done one in 20 years. And he because of my enthusiasm in quotation marks for what I was doing with Bundy, he said, you know, there's a script that's been kicking around Hollywood for 6 or 7 years. It's on what's called the Hollywood blacklist. The blacklist is scripts that, for one reason or other, people have tried to make, or they've won awards, screenwriting awards, and no one can figure out how to make them, but they're just kind of scripts that people want to keep an eye on, but nobody can figure out how to make them. And the script by Michael Wuerwe, called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, just kind of rolls off your tongue there, was on the Hollywood blacklist, and Michael Cooper, you know, blew the proverbial dust off the script and sent it to me and said, what do you think? And I loved it because I loved the POV, which was, you know, it's not really, you don't really know. I mean, you know it's Bundy at the beginning of the film, but in the original conception of the script, you don't even know it's Bundy. It's just a story of Liz and Ted, and they're having a wonderful relationship, and then he falls into this Kafkaesque nightmare of wrongful accusation. And by the end of the film, the reveal is that it's Ted Bundy. Zac Efron signed on pretty quickly, and the fact that Zac was playing Ted Bundy became international news, and so the cat was out of the bag that it was Ted Bundy. So that conceit, that the reveal at the end that it's Ted Bundy, I had to modify, you know, do a little work on the script, which was great, just to, you know, deal with that issue that everyone knows going into the film, it's Ted Bundy. But the nuts and bolts of that script was about, you know, not talking about Bundy the killer, but Bundy the lover, until the right dramatic moment. You know, some people have feared when they read about the script that we're somehow glorifying Bundy. That's the last thing we're doing. We're portraying how one becomes a victim to that kind of psychotic behavior, and it requires the audience kind of investing a little emotion in the relationship between Ted and Liz. And so by the time Bundy finally admits to Liz at the end of the movie in this incredible scene that I think is, you know, just, I love the final scene, the final two scenes of the movie, you know, I want the audience to feel conflicted and feel betrayed themselves because they kind of invested a little energy, emotional energy, in the success of their relationship only to realize that this guy's a horrible person, even though intellectually, you know, it's Bundy. So if the film is working for you, that's the kind of feeling I hope you have at the end of the movie.
That's what I thought was interesting, as, you know, you're talking about glorifying Bundy, and having seen the film, you know, there are moments of levity. It is entertaining. It is a window into a person. And then yet at the end, you bring it back around. So you do feel the weight of what has happened to, you know, to however many victims. And so I just felt like it was such a ride, and you brought it back to reality at the end.
Yeah. I wasn't interested in the, you know, like there are, excuse me for sniffling there. I've got the Sundance cough. You know, there are many great films. You know, we've seen the procedural, you know, escalating body count, who's doing the crime, you know, horrible, vicious acts. You know, Fincher obviously is the master, you know, tracking the killer down, and the end of the movie is the police, you know, arresting the bad guy. I wasn't interested in that. Film's been done 8,000 times. And I just wanted to, I was excited about the script because it gives me an opportunity to do what I think, and people may find this heretical, but, you know, as Bundy himself says, killers don't come out of the dark with long fangs and blood dripping off their chin. They're your brother, your father, you know, people you know, you love, and, you know, they could be the nicest people on the planet whom you admire, but the next day they could be capable of the most demonic evil. And that's a lesson we can't learn enough. And I think, you know, serial killers are three-dimensional human beings, and you have to see all sides of them to understand how this kind of sociopathic behavior happens so that you can avoid it. And, you know, as a father of daughters around the prototypical Bundy victim age, that's a lesson I want my daughters to know, which is you have to earn, you know, people have to earn your trust.
With all this Bundy, will you be able to take a Bundy vacation?
I got to take a Bundy vacation. too much murder on my brain. You know, okay.
So we have a couple more screenings?
A couple more screenings, but any distribution plans here?
Yeah, we're actually, luckily, we had a great screening and lots of people talking about buying the film, and we're sorting through the offers now.
Great. Awesome. Wednesday, January 30th at Sundance Mountain at 6 p.m. and then again Saturday here in town, 12:15 p.m. at the Eccles Theater. Thanks so much for
your
time.
Thanks for having me.
That's Director Joe Berlinger. You're listening to the Sundance Reel here on KPCW.
Cool.